I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Pensburg Podcast. I am your host, Garrett Behanna, and alongside me, as always, fellow Pensburg contributor and co-host of the Pensburg Podcast, Robbie Noggle. Robbie, how have you been since last week's episode?
I can't complain too much, Garrett. Like we were just talking before we hit record here, it's been kind of dreary and cold and wet and just miserable weather-wise, and I guess if you're from Western Pennsylvania this time of year, you can't really complain about it because you choose to live here. But that's pretty much how it's been, just wet and miserable. And just as you said, one day closer to spring.
Yeah. I don't know if you can call it the dog days of winter, but that's how I'm looking at it now that we're approaching February. We're getting through the meat and potatoes of the NHL schedule. And if you're an NHL fan, you're one step closer to the trade deadline, and hopefully for your team that you're rooting for. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, I hope that you're a Penguins fan first and foremost. If you're listening to this podcast, the Penguins, they are in the wild card race right now. They still do have a puncher's chance of finishing third in the division, and we'll touch on that as we get into the mailbag this week. Robbie, the main topic I want to talk about this week might be something that we touched on briefly a couple of episodes ago, but it's reared its ugly head once again, and that is goaltending issues and goaltending depth, because it seems like the Penguins can never really go through a full season without losing at least one, or in reality, a couple of their key contributors on the ice. Tristan Jarry, the Penguins' starting goaltender, number one goaltender, was a surprise late scratch against the Florida Panthers on Tuesday. It was later revealed through Mike Sullivan that Jarry suffered an upper body injury and he will miss at least the next two games. That will probably take the Penguins through the All-Star break, I would imagine, and out of the All-Star break. And in Jarry's stead, we have Casey DeSmith, who came in as the starter during Tuesday night's game against the Florida Panthers and allowed 6 goals on 39 shots in what was really a thrilling 7-6 overtime victory if you're a Penguins fan. But Robbie, I want to talk to you about this because we're back to talking about and analyzing goaltending depth and if the Penguins can survive with the goaltending that they've been getting. I described it in the outline here. I said spicy pork and broccoli. It really was. It was a fun story for a few days in May. But Tristan Jarry now has sustained another injury in what is his contract year. Casey DeSmith can be described as inconsistent at best. You really don't know what you're getting when he starts between the pipes. The Penguins' playoff hopes, Robbie, may not lie directly with the goaltending that they get, but the last two postseasons, they've been done in by shoddy goaltending, whether it be an injury to Tristan Jarry or Jarry's bad postseason play in 2021 or 2020 against the Islanders. But the point still stands. Robbie, if Jari's injury isn't long term, given that this is a contract year for him and the Penguins really don't have anyone to replace him beneath Jari in terms of goaltending prospects, how swayed are you, given this latest injury news, into giving Jari a contract extension, even if the free agent crop of unrestricted free agent goaltenders isn't all that great this year?
Well, generally, we save the goaltending discourse for the playoffs, but I guess we're getting in a little early this year. So I think overall, obviously, yeah, concerns with Tristan Jari's health. And generally, that was just a, again, postseason problem going back to last year. But this is now his second injury this season that will keep him out for at least more than one game, and at least, as far as we know, at least more than three games total, since he will not play against the Capitals on Thursday night or against the Sharks on Saturday night before going into the All-Star break. So timing-wise, I guess it could be much worse. You will get a nice 9 or 10 day break coming up here for the Penguins, where Jari will get a chance to heal up, and we hope that it's not anything serious and he can return much sooner rather than later, because if the Casey DeSmith that's going to be taking over is the Casey DeSmith that we saw on Tuesday night against the Panthers, we're going to have a very long absence of Tristan Jari, because, yeah, games like that are fun. Scoring like that for the Penguins is not sustainable to keep up with that. It was great to see the Penguins go off in that game. You had Drew O'Connor getting on the score sheet. You had Chris Letang's amazing comeback to the lineup, the emotional comeback, and everything that kind of went into that game. But there was multiple points in that game where the Penguins should have had a lead remain intact if it wasn't. And it wasn't at all Casey DeSmith's fault. The defense definitely left much to be desired, but they didn't play seven or six goals against bad. That there was many moments in that game where Tristan or Casey DeSmith needed to make a save and failed to do so. And as a result, the Penguins lost the lead and lost momentum in the process. And yeah, he did come up with some big saves when the defense did a stumble, but overall it just wasn't a good enough effort. And you just hope that it's just these next two games and we can get Tristan Jari back and he can remain healthy. But it definitely asks some questions about Jari going forward after this this season. Obviously, you hope he comes back healthy this year, but what is the front office willing to do in terms of investing long-term in a goaltender that cannot stay healthy when they need him most? And right now, the Penguins on the playoff bubble, they need their best performance every night to get points and to build going forward here after the All-Star break. They're in a tight race, and it's far from over. It's probably going to come down to the wire. And at the same time, there's still a chance that they can fight their way out of a wild card spot and get to third in the division and avoid having to take on one of the division winners, especially the Boston Bruins. But what can the Penguins do in goal right now? You just have to roll with what you got. They're not going to, at least not in the immediate term, bring in a veteran backup. I think that is something that they definitely need to look into. We said the same thing last year and it didn't happen. And you kind of look at where it led in that first round exit against the New York Rangers. Then you have Dustin Tokarski as your third stringer, who he looked good in the game that he won, but he looked maybe not as good in the game that he started right after that. And I don't know if you will see Tokarski get any action in these next two games. If he's not a starter, you certainly hope he doesn't get any action, because that means Casey DeSmith had a not so great performance again. And really, if DeSmith would have started that game the other night and played the way he did, and if there would have been a non-E-Bug goalie available, you absolutely probably would have seen Casey DeSmith pulled in that hockey game. So where they go from here, for this season at least, you just hope Jari returns, can be healthy, and can play to the potential that we know he can. The offseason, that I don't necessarily want to be the person in the room trying to negotiate that contract or having to make that decision whether you're going to negotiate at all. I think in the end, Tristan Jari will be a Pittsburgh Penguin next year unless some otherworldly option becomes available. None of the prospects, the Penguins do have some nice goaltending prospects. None are even close to ready to make a appearance at the NHL. I mean, nothing, and any other option down in the AHL is really just a minor league level goaltender, a replacement level goaltender like a Tokarski or a Domingue, if they're even to that level. Both of those guys have NHL pedigree, even if they aren't regular NHL players. So I think overall, right now, it's just really about getting Jari back on the ice and limiting how long he's off and hope that he can stay healthy down the stretch. And then the offseason, you have to look into his health and his durability, because you kind of had the same issue with Matt Murray pop up. Matt Murray would get hurt, and he really never would find any kind of consistent level of play because he wasn't on the ice long enough for it to ever happen. So I think overall it's a tricky situation to be in. But right now I think the Penguins' focus has to be on the rest of this season, getting healthy and getting in the playoffs, and see what he brings you in the playoffs, and then sit down in the offseason whenever that starts and reevaluate there and see if you believe that he is worth a long-term contract, or if maybe they go for a bridge type deal to see if kind of a prove it type deal to see if you want him to be the long-term answer.
And it's not like Jari's stats this year have been bad. Maybe the Penguins needed him or kind of wanted him to be, I don't know if otherworldly is the correct term here, but he owns a 16-5-5 record with a 2.65 goals against average and a .921 save percentage, which is up from his career .916 save percentage. Looking at some of Jari's advanced metrics, I mean, his even strength save percentage right now is .926 this season. His high danger scoring chance save percentage right now is .821, which is lower than it was last year, .830. But obviously, Jari hasn't played the same amount of minutes as he did last season, so that still could increase. And, you know, on the flip side, looking at Casey DeSmith, that's where I kind of have some concern if he has to step in for Jari over a longer period of time, because I think Casey DeSmith is a slightly below average to average backup goaltender in the NHL. That's his absolute ceiling. His even strength save percentage, DeSmith's even strength save percentage this year is .902, which is a drastic decrease from where it was when he finished last season at .922. His high danger scoring chance save percentage was .842 throughout the duration of the 2021-22 season, whereas this year, that same statistic, the high danger scoring chance save percentage, has fallen all the way down to .811. An .811 high danger scoring chance save percentage. So there has been a drop in play in some of DeSmith's numbers. At the end of the day, though, I don't know if Ron Hextall, if you're looking to fix this team and fix some of its shortcomings, I don't know if goaltending right now is the biggest problem. It's probably on the list somewhere, maybe third or fourth on the list of things that you'd like to see an improvement with. But still, it's kind of the Penguins made this bed. Ron Hextall made this bed of extending Casey DeSmith, putting his faith in Casey DeSmith as the team's backup netminder for a 2-year extension. And for better or worse, the Penguins, at least through the end of this season, are going to be stuck with this tandem. I don't want to say stuck. That sounds like it's negative towards DeSmith and Jari, because when they're both healthy, and again, that's kind of the point of the discussion we're having here, is when they're both healthy, I think they're an above-average tandem that can help the Penguins win a lot of games. But again, we're having this discussion now where the team's top goaltender, who they need, like you said, Robbie, the Penguins are in a wild card battle. It's probably going to come down to the wire, and they're going to need all the points they can get. You know, you need your best players to be at their peak performance to collect these points, and the Penguins don't have one of their top players in Tristan Jari right now. So for Jari's sake, hopefully this injury isn't long-term. Hopefully we're talking about this next week or the week after, and Jari is back on the ice after the All-Star break, and, you know, we could put this behind us. Hopefully Jari returns at full health, and the Penguins can continue the wild card battle with the likes of the Washington Capitals, Buffalo Sabres, and New York Rangers. But again, this is just another sort of developing storyline in what has become a long list of depth problems that are only just being magnified, because how many times have we talked about the Penguins' lack of bottom six depth and, you know, all of the things compounded together that make that have made a kind of average to maybe somewhat underwhelming Penguins team throughout 2022-2023.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is and, not as simple you know, as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But we have a, switching gears now, we have a massive 11-question mailbag this week. So thanks again for everyone who has been submitting and interacting with us on Twitter, through social media, and the podcast. One of the questions we do have pertains to the future of the Pensburg podcast, and we will get to those questions here momentarily. Robbie, as always, you'll get question number one. Question number one comes from Brian. Brian says, after listening to last week's episode, I would also love to see this team with an Andre Vasilevsky-type goaltender. Do you think that if things had played out differently for Matt Murray, he could have been considered to be on a Vasilevsky-like level?
Well, trust me when I say that I wish the Penguins had a Vasilevsky-type goaltender as well, and I think there's probably 30 or 29 maybe other teams in the NHL that wish they had a Vasilevsky-type goaltender. The Tampa Bay, who has Vasilevsky. The Rangers, who have Shesterkin, and I'm sure there's one other team out there that has a guy playing close to that level as well. But, yeah, so Matt Murray is such an interesting case because it seemed like he had really the whole hockey world, I mean, in his hands. I mean, two Stanley Cups, technically as a rookie because of how the qualifications for rookie work in the NHL. So, I mean, two Stanley Cups as a rookie. And there were times during those runs where he absolutely looked like the guy for a very long time, as in 10, 15 years, the guy in Pittsburgh. And then after that second cup, it just never all came together for him. There was injuries, the passing of his father, just inconsistent play. And maybe it was just, I don't know if it was expectations or the pressure or if it really was just the injuries caught up to him. And maybe he just wasn't at the level that we were expecting from Matt Murray from those playoff years. What he did in those years was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, if you just look back at the 2017 Game 5 and Game 6 against the Predators, consecutive shutouts, including one in Game 6 in Nashville, where the Penguins needed every single one of those saves that he gave them, because it was only 1-0 late in the third period. They didn't score until there was like a minute and a half left. So those early years were, maybe we just had just too high of expectations for what Matt Murray was as a goaltender. But could he have been that guy? I mean, I think if you would ask us 5 years ago, we would have said, yeah, Matt Murray's the future. He's going to be the Penguins backstop for the next 10 years. I mean, they moved on from a franchise legend to keep Matt Murray in Pittsburgh and make him the number one goaltender, and it just didn't work out. So, I mean, could he have been that guy without if things played out differently? Maybe. But also maybe the expectations that we set were just irrational because of what we saw in really a very small sample size during the 2016 and 2017 Cup runs. Number two from Brendan. I think the Pens will get in the playoffs and grab the third divisional spot. If we don't, though, and we miss the playoffs, Who are your East and West teams and why?
I'll take the glass half full approach here, and I'll say the Penguins, I'll say they fight and they claw and they do get right now the third divisional spot over the Rangers. But looking at the NHL standings right now, the East is pretty cut and dry. Boston, Toronto, and Tampa are going to take the top three spots in the Atlantic. Carolina and New Jersey, I imagine they're going to stay within the top two spots of the Metropolitan. Who takes the third Metropolitan spot? Like I said, I'll go with the glass half full approach, and I'll say the Penguins take it. That would leave the wild card. I think the Rangers will find a way to bring it together, and I think the Capitals will as well. Both of those teams, with the Rangers, you can hopefully Leon Shesterkin and some of the young guns kind of find their way. And for the Capitals, it's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. It's a veteran-laden team, and I think the Capitals, much like the Penguins, who are both in the wild card spots right now, will like to hopefully lean on their veteran presence and get into the postseason that way. But looking at the Florida Panthers have kind of fallen off. They only have 52 points. The Buffalo Sabres are a surprise. They might be one of the league's biggest surprises this year just because of where they are right now. 53 points. They're only 3 points out of a wild card spot battling the Penguins and Capitals right now. So they're still very much in the mix. The Islanders have 51 points. So they could get hot and go on a run. The other teams in the Eastern Conference, they're kind of just middling at the bottom in the basement. The Red Wings, the Flyers, the Senators, a lot of those teams are in the rebuilding process. But yeah, the Sabres, they've been one of, I guess if you're a Sabres fan, they've been a pleasant surprise, and they're still fighting in the wild card spot. So that's why I think comes out of the East. I think it's pretty much locked where it is right now, unless one of the teams in the wild card falls off and the Sabres kind of take advantage. In the West, the Stars, Jets, and I think the Avalanche have been dealing with a lot of injuries this year. I don't know if it's so much of Stanley Cup hangover as it is dealing with some injuries to their key players. But the Stars and Jets right now have 65 and 63 points respectively. Colorado has 55 points. I'm not going to bet against Colorado at this point. I think they'll find a way to earn more points as the season comes to a conclusion. Those three teams get in. How about the Seattle Kraken currently leading the Pacific Division right now with 61 points, tied with Vegas at 61, and the Los Angeles Kings, after going through a few years of a rebuild, have 60 points right now. The Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl will will that team no matter how bad it is of a supporting cast around Draisaitl and McDavid. I think the Oilers will find a way into the postseason. The Calgary Flames right now are bad with the Minnesota Wild and the Nashville Predators and the St. Louis Blues for that final wild card spot in the West. I'd like to see Calgary get in. I don't really, you know, I don't care for the Wild. I know Bill Guerin is kind of dealing with a ton of dead cap space right now. The Wild kind of strike me as a team that's in limbo. They don't really know what they are. I don't know what they are. The Nashville Predators at 52 points, again, they're within striking distance if they go on the run. But I think we're at a point now heading into February where a lot of this seeding and positioning might swap a little bit here and there, but you're starting to see who the defined teams are. And I think the teams that I mentioned are probably the teams that are going to make it in. I don't want to say everything's set because obviously it isn't, but yeah, I'd imagine the teams who are at the top of their divisions right now and the wild card spots right now are probably the teams that I would bet money towards to make the postseason when April comes around. Question number three is from Brendan. Nick Paul was a major depth piece to the Tampa Bay Lightning last year, and he was acquired for Matthew Joseph and a fourth round pick. In Brendan's eyes, this means that we can have our lunch and eat it too by keeping our first round pick and building depth. What options do you see as viable for a potential McGinn, Kapanen, or Bluger trade, plus the addition of a second, third, or fourth rounder? Also, I get the tough love idea, but why are some NHL coaches so ruthless when it comes to rookies? Jonathan Gruden, who was recently called up, is a half point per game player in the AHL. You know he's a project when you bring him up, and ditto goes for Daryl Sutter in Calgary.
Man, the trade deadline is going to be very interesting for the Penguins because you have a front office that values keeping draft picks, and draft picks are what other teams, selling teams, want. So, yeah, what are they going to do exactly? Man, this is such a good draft. It's really hard to give up that first round pick. Especially if the Penguins would not make the playoffs. Now, again, if they would not make the playoffs, they would be one of the last teams out. So their odds of getting the first overall pick would be amazingly thin, very little. But you never say never. And getting a guy like Connor Bedard, obviously, it changes. Changes the complete outlook for the franchise for the next 10 years. And can you just imagine the Twitter meltdown if the Penguins would somehow miss the playoffs for the first time in almost two decades and get the draft into their franchise cornerstone? It would be absolutely phenomenal. And now I don't think McGinn, Kapanen, or Blueger really have any trade value. The picks are what have the trade value. So them moving would be more of a, please take these guys to open up cap space for us kind of deal. McGinn, I know that Kapanen has a bigger contract number, but McGinn has all those years. So if you could get McGinn in a trade, get him out of Pittsburgh, just simply for getting that contract clean off the books, would be an absolute win, even if it is for just a marginal bottom six player. But right now, a marginal bottom six player is better than what the Penguins have on the roster. And then as for the second part of that question, why are NHL coaches so ruthless to some rookies? I think a lot of it is old-time hockey, the old-time mentality a lot of coaches still have. Sutter in Calgary is pretty much a prime example of that. He grew up, he played in an era where, you all had a short leash. If a guy slacks off for a shift, that all is a big negative to coaches like that, that have the kind of that mindset of dogging it a little bit or something like that. And again, there's some coaches that you could argue are too lenient on guys that are dogging it and not necessarily rewarding them, but not really either punishing them either for their misdeeds. So I think really why are these guys so hard is a lot of it's just a mentality thing, an old school hockey kind of thing that is ingrained in a lot of these older coaches because that's how they came up and it's been baked into their coaching style as well. Number four, again, from Brendan. I love Blueger, but at $2.2 million, I think he is truly a quality fourth liner. In reality, he can be replaced by Drew O'Connor, John Gruden, Valtteri Puustinen, William Nylander, Sam Poulin, et cetera, et cetera.
It's funny the kind of the switch in tone we have when it comes to Teddy Blueger. 1 or 2 years ago, we would have been saying he's the next third line center right behind Malkin. And now the offense has kind of dried up. The defensive numbers and penalty killing numbers aren't what they have been. And again, to Brendan's point, looking at $2.2 million, you can probably spread that out over a couple of different contracts. And he brings up all of the different examples looking at the Penguins' total salary cap and who is under contract. Valtteri Puustinen right now has a cap hit or a contract of $842,500. He's a restricted free agent. He'll probably come back next year. If the Penguins want him back, he'll probably come back at the same or somewhere around that number, $840,000. Alex Nylander right now making, I think it's league minimum, $750,000 at the NHL level. He's an RFA. The Penguins can have him back for the same price or around the same price next year. Jonathan Gruden, Drew O'Connor, those players getting a little bit of NHL action. Gruden is a restricted free agent. He's making $790,000 this year. O'Connor's making league minimum. He's at $750,000. Ryan Poehling's at league minimum. He's also making $750,000. The thing for the Penguins is, for the Penguins' benefit, a lot of these younger guys are restricted free agents, so it won't take a whole lot of money to negotiate with them. They don't have a lot of leverage. It will come down to if Mike Sullivan and Ron Hextall find value in these younger, cheaper players and play them on a more regular basis. Because I agree with Brendan, the bloom has come off the rose for Teddy Blueger. And I think at $2.2 million, you can spread that out over a couple of different bottom six players who maybe give you the same or if not a little bit more production than what Teddy Blueger gives you right now. So between O'Connor, Gruden, Poustin, and Nylander, Poulin, who is away from the team right now, hope to have him back in the fold sometime soon if and when he's ready to come back. But a lot of these young players, they're not going to be game changers. That's just the price the Penguins have paid for having so much success at the NHL level. But a lot of these players can be quality bottom six players if they reach their ceiling. O'Connor has continued to impress the more and more Mike Sullivan has deployed him and not giving him 5 minutes of ice time a night. Jonathan Gruden remains a little bit of a project. Valtteri Puustinen is one of the Wilkes-Barre Penguins' leading point getters. Alex Nylander has some NHL experience with the Chicago Blackhawks before coming over in the Sam Lafferty trade. Sam Poulin, a former first rounder. So you have that billing. You don't really know what he's made of yet at the NHL level, but all of these players, starting in 2023, 2024, they could realistically have a spot in the bottom six of the Penguins lineup. Will all of these players make it? Probably not. But, if you're looking to spread some of the salary cap out, getting rid of a player like Bluger or potentially a Jeff Carter or a Kasperi Kapanen, you have some of these options that you can rely on at very, very cheap team-friendly deals, which is what the Penguins are going to need over the next couple of seasons. Question number five for you, Robbie, comes from Brian. I know both of you said you're not really jersey guys, but would you ever consider getting a player from another team? I really like the retros the Arizona Coyotes have put out, and I kind of want a Logan Cooley jersey in one of them. Also, Brian asks, what are your thoughts on Cooley as a prospect? Think of the damage both he and Bedard could do together if that were to happen.
Yeah, jersey, I mean, if you ever get a jersey from another team, just kind of going through some names here, maybe like a Makar, because Cal Makar rules. And the jersey itself would have to be, like, because there's a lot of the reverse retro designs were cool as well. So, yeah, like a Cal Makar in a reverse retro, in the Colorado reverse retros, which were really, really nice. The Minnesota, I mean, maybe a Kaprizov in their throwback reverse retro Minnesota North Stars colors, which are obviously phenomenal. And then, yeah, anything, obviously there's not a ton of talent in Arizona right now, but the Kachina throw, or the, well, that's their regular jersey now, the Kachina jerseys, which with the wolf, it's awesome. It's such a great jersey. I absolutely love it. And as for Logan Cooley, a Pittsburgh kid, unfortunately for the Penguins, was not available last year when they were drafting. He was one of the top prospects. He went, I believe, number four overall to Arizona. He's going to be a superstar, and he's really he's kind of the next benchmark for players out of the Pittsburgh area. I mean, you've had your Brandon Saad, your John Gibsons. And now you have Logan Cooley, who, I mean, a top five draft pick, playing in a market that, yeah, he won't have a lot of eyes on him, but maybe that will help him kind of develop without all the pressure, and he can help kind of build up that market again in Arizona, where when they get a new arena finally in a couple years. So you'll just have to watch him the one time a year he comes in with the Coyotes when he gets to the big league. So. I think Cooley, I mean, it's great for the area and great for hockey in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be exciting to watch him grow. Question number six from Brian again. Do you think a potential buyout to Jeff Carter is in the cards before next season, or do you think they'll ride out the last year with him considering they're still paying the buyout of Jack Johnson?
I don't think a lot of teams really like to go the buyout route, and I was honestly surprised when the Penguins announced that they had bought out the remaining of Jack Johnson's contract. From Ron Hextall's perspective, I think there's built-in loyalty and friendship to the Jeff Carter extension, which is why I don't see a buyout in the cards for Carter. Financially speaking, I think it makes all the sense in the world. Yeah, you take on a little bit of a dead cap space for the next 2 years because he would have 1 year left on this deal for the 2023-24 season. So you take on a little bit of dead cap for the following 2 years until that contract is officially off the books. But because they're still paying, I don't want to say super hefty, but it's still close to $1 million in dead cap to Jack Johnson. I don't think that they're going to buy out Carter. Because part of it, too, is the way general managers operate. I know Robbie and I have talked about it in a couple of questions in the past. I said there's loyalty and friendship baked into some of these contracts. The Jim Rutherford, Jack Johnson extension was a prime example of that, because after that contract was signed, stories came out through the Pittsburgh media that Jim Rutherford looked at Jack Johnson almost like as a son to Jim Rutherford. So I wouldn't be surprised if that there's a kind of similar dynamic between Hextall and Carter in that regard. Unless Carter retires or they find someone to take his contract, I imagine he finishes out. His contract, barring something unforeseen, in terms of the salary cap perspective. Question number 7 for you, Robbie, comes from Brendan. Why bring up Jonathan Gruden and punish him for his blunder on the PK? In his second game, he got caught chasing on the penalty kill, partially because Rust wasn't covering him. This resulted in a goal against, and then he was benched for all but one more shift. What's the point?
You need some healthy bodies. And again, we kind of talked about this last week a little bit about him, those young guys coming up and adding a jolt to the lineup, and sometimes it works. And Jonathan Gruden had, a nice little spark in that first game he played. And unfortunately, that was kind of curtailed by his, I guess, quote unquote mistake that you can maybe lay blame on a mistake by Russ that kind of put Gruden in an unfair position to cover ground that he just simply was not in position to cover. But I think they were looking for a spark, and what happened, and it kind of goes back to that question about why do some coaches punish rookies, and I think that's just a kind of a symptom of that. It's just the mentality of the old-time coaches that a young player screws up, he's got to pay his dues, he's going to have to ride the bench, and it just kind of snowballs from there. And yeah, I don't think there's really too much to read into it. I just think it's kind of a culture thing with the NHL, why it played out like that. Question number 8, we'll go back to Brian. If this season has taught the front office anything, it should be that you can't win in this league with only two lines. Maybe it'd be different if the guys being relied on were younger and we didn't have this injury curse, but that's just not our reality. However the season closes, the next needs to open with the bottom six retooled with depth. You can tell we're not far off from making one more run with this core.
I think Brian, in this one question, has kind of taken all of my reasons for frustration with this 22-23 season and just kind of bottled it up all together into one perfect explanation as to why I feel the way I do about this team, is because this isn't 2016-2017. They're not in their late 20s, early 30s anymore. They can't rely on being a two-line team because they're not younger. That Father Time waits for no man unless your name is Tom Brady, but it looks like Father Time has just come for Tom Brady as well. So, yeah, retooling the bottom six with better depth has been basically the overarching conversation we've had this entire season, is the play that even if they're generational players, they're 35, 36 years old, can't control the game like they used to, and you need to have effective bottom six NHL caliber players take control and provide scoring when your top players are either injured or they just don't have it that night, or they are scoring and they need a little bit of extra juice to get over the finish line. Because I agree with Brian, this team, you can win having an old team. Look at I just saw it not too long ago, a graphic of those Red Wings teams who were filled with a ton of veterans. I think they had a really young Zetterberg on the roster, maybe a couple of other younger players that took them into the early to mid 2000s. You can definitely win in this league with an older roster of players, but it needs to be tooled with the right amount of scoring depth, NHL caliber players, and the Penguins just don't have that. So you're kind of just left to hope for the best at this point. I don't know if this season is that one more year that you can make a run with this core. Hopefully, you'd like to think with $20 million in salary cap space, maybe a little bit more if you jettison some of the other contracts, that the Penguins can retool effectively and spend that money a bit more wisely over this upcoming offseason. Because, yeah, that's the point. That's why That's why Malkin and Letang and Rust and Raquel signed these extensions. So you can get that one final run before everything just kind of falls apart and, you know, age takes its toll on all of these players. But with that comes the misallocation of the salary cap, and we're in the situation we're in right now, giving $3.1 million to Jeff Carter, giving over $3 million to Kasperi Kapanen. It's an amalgamation of different issues that have kind of combined together and given us the 2022-23 Pittsburgh Penguins. So I don't want to say this season is over, because it most definitely isn't. The Penguins could shock the world and go on a run this year. I just don't see it. Maybe it's because I'm a cynic slash realist, but hey, who knows? Maybe 2023-24 is that year where they can go in for one last run. Question number 9, Robbie, comes from Brian again. Going into the season, I would say Tristan Jarry is the most important unrestricted free agent going into the 2023-24 season. But as this season has played out, maybe it's actually Jason Zucker. Would you like to see the team prioritize Jason Zucker over Tristan Jarry? Jarry is a great goaltender when healthy. I think at this point, the Penguins need to start questioning whether an extension is worth the price given his inability to stay healthy. And they should definitely be looking to get a veteran backup at the deadline regardless.
Important-wise, I mean, I think Jarry is obviously the most important question. But the most important player, I mean, goaltending is so important in this league. So you got to think, if he's not 1A, he's probably 1B. But I kind of agree with Zucker as well, because it's quite clear that he means something to this team and what he brings to this team. And he was kind of in the same boat as Jarry there when it came to injuries. And this year, knock on wood, been very healthy outside of a little stint there in December. But I think you have to take a hard look at the free agent situation with Jason Zucker this offseason, to the point where I'm making him maybe my top priority, if depending on what how the goaltending situation shakes out. If Jarry comes back and it's lights out for the rest of the season, then yeah, I mean, then you have to, that's probably your top priority if he's going to play like that. But if he's still injured and beat up and doesn't play, if he doesn't come back till, I don't know, mid-February, and you have to ask those questions then. Maybe the most important question is what you do with Tristan Jarry, but the most important signing at that point may be Jason Zucker, if he keeps playing at the level he is, because it's not just the goal scoring, it's everything, really. He is almost like a heartbeat to this team right now. When he goes, they go, and he doesn't wear any letters on his chest, but man, that guy plays like he's a team leader. And really, I mean, for his experience and his veteran poise, he is a team leader in the room, regardless of whether he has an A on his chest or not. And I think really you have to sit down, and if things keep going the way they are, I think that, yeah, Jason Zucker is probably your top free agent priority this offseason, given that everything that he's meant to the team this year, despite all the struggles, what your one consistent, it feels like, has been Jason Zucker. Question number 10 is from Brian. It's kind of a two-parter from Brian and Brendan. They kind of come together here. From Brian first, I really hope you boys find a solution for the podcast. I love so many questions and listening to this every week while I'm at work delivering my mail route. Some very nice words from Brian. Glad we can make your work a little easier. And then from Brendan, sorry to hear about the podcast, guys. Love the focus on listener interaction with this pod. Have you considered doing a Patreon, $1 or $2 a month subscription to help offset some of the upload fees? And Garrett, I'll let you take it away on this one, since you've been doing a lot of the corresponding on the future of the podcast.
Yes, so kind of a lot changes, or a lot can change in the span of 7 days. Last week we brought you the news that our current podcasting contract with SB Nation / Vox Media will be terminated as of February 28th, 2023, I think we can now, Robbie, comfortably say that the Pensburg podcast is not going anywhere and will probably...
Well, it's going somewhere. Be at home at Vox / SB Nation anymore.
Yes, but the Pensburg podcast will not be thrown in the garbage, and it will not be discontinued. I imagine that there might be a little bit of inconsistency towards the tail end of the regular season, depending on what shakes out. But I can confidently say that the podcast is not going anywhere. And as of right now, we're in conversation. As a matter of fact, we're in conversation with the Pittsburgh Steelers SB Nation blog Behind the Steel Curtain. They also got the axe when it came to their podcast contract getting terminated as well. I was emailed by the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain, and Robbie and I are kind of in the early stages of figuring out and meeting with a couple of those guys over there who run their podcasts and trying to figure out what the proper platform will be, because upload fees are a real thing. Before I got the contract with SB Nation and Vox Media, I was hosting and paying for the podcast myself, and then some of the money that I was getting from the budget for the podcast would offset the uploading fees and the hosting fees that I would use. And so now that we're kind of going independent again, like when we started, uploading fees, that's going to be one of the issues to keep the podcast viable. But I think we're going to be reaching a point here shortly. We don't have all the details ironed out yet, but what I can tell everybody listening and everyone, Brian, Brendan, everybody who submits questions to the mailbag and listens, if you like what you're listening to, Robbie and I can't thank you enough for supporting us. You know, I look at some of the metrics on the website that I use to upload the podcasts, and seeing the weekly and monthly download numbers really means the world to me. And I can tell that, you know, we've kind of developed a really solid listener base for what is really a really niche podcasting market. You know, I don't know a ton of people going out of their way to listen to a Pittsburgh Penguins / NHL podcast on a weekly basis, but it's because of the listeners and people like Brian and Brendan, anyone who has submitted mailbag questions, anyone who's taken the time to download and listen. It's really because of you guys that we're able to keep this podcast afloat. And while we may be leaving the SB Nation Vox umbrella, and we'll probably rebrand a little bit in the coming weeks and months, we'll probably rebrand and rename the podcast. But Robbie and I aren't going anywhere. The mailbag isn't going anywhere. Again, I know we talked earlier in the year about having some more guests on. That kind of has been complicated by the fact that our contract got terminated, and we're trying to find a solution to that as well. But yes, to put a bow on this, the Pittsburgh podcast will have a new name, probably have a new look. It'll have a new home. But the podcast itself is not going anywhere. We will probably be finishing out this season. And like we have been doing over the last couple of off seasons, we'll have a couple of sporadic episodes thrown in there, probably around the draft at the start of free agency. And then we'll start back up 2023, 2024 in our new home as well. But yeah, the details are still being ironed out. However, the Pittsburgh podcast will have a new name, but the podcast itself is not going anywhere. Question number 11. The final question of this week's mailbag, Robbie, comes from George McLennan. And it's a pretty short and straightforward question, Robbie. How does Ron Hextall still have a job?
Oh, before I answer that question, I'll just kind of riff off what Garrett said there. If you've ever seen The Wolf on Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio, there's the one moment where he's thinking about leaving his company. And he gets on the mic and he says, I'm not going to say the whole quote because it has some NSFW language, but it's basically, I'm not going anywhere. And that's kind of where we're not going anywhere. Like Garrett said, maybe some things, some slight changes, mostly graphical changes and kind of what the name is, I guess. But we'll iron that out between us here in the coming weeks. And but pay attention to Pittsburgh as a whole. There's probably some changes coming at some point. Just the reality of everything. I won't get too deep into from the site perspective, but from our perspective, we already know our expiration date, I guess you could say, that it's ending from the SB Nation Vox perspective. But the future's still bright for the podcast. What it's named, I don't know. We haven't decided that yet, but it'll be something Penguins related to kind of keep you guys familiar in that way that old listeners are familiar with it. It's not some random out of the blue, like complete name change. And then at the same time, the opportunity to work with the guys over at Behind the Steel Curtain, their podcast, I believe, will be changing a name too, but I believe their site will still be hosted by Vox SB Nation. So maybe there's some crossover there. Maybe some of you guys already listen to their weekly podcast, and maybe some of their listeners will see us and their Penguins fans. They just never really dove in too deep. So maybe we'll get some residual listeners by working with them guys. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of network they build over there. So yeah, like Garrett said, thank you guys for listening every week. Those that ask questions, obviously that's what the bulk of this podcast is getting user interactions with you guys. And that's really all I got to say. And as for the question about why Ron Hextall also has a job, I would assume that if they don't make the playoffs, he will no longer have a job. And honestly, if they make the playoffs and do not have a good performance, if Fenway Sports Group decides that they have seen enough, I would expect Ron Hextall to be packing his bags and the Penguins in search for another general manager. Yeah, it's kind of weird how one resignation by Jim Rutherford kind of really set on this roller coaster of just uncertainty for the Penguins the past now 2 years since Jim Rutherford left the position. So why does Ron Hextall still have a job? Because I think that Fenway Sports Group wants to at least give him 1 year. And if they aren't happy with the trajectory or aren't happy with the results, I would fully expect Ron Hextall to be without a job heading into 23-24, and the Penguins under new leadership in the front office with a new general manager, and probably, I'm assuming, also a new president of hockey operations as well. But that's neither here nor there at the moment. We will obviously see how the rest of the season plays out. The Penguins are roughly 45-46 games into the season, so over halfway. They have a game tonight against the Capitals, crucial game, and then against San Jose on Saturday, and then nothing for over a week. So next week when we're here, we'll both probably be just listening to crickets play and answering whatever questions you guys have. Hopefully maybe a topic will come up during the bye week that give us something to talk about. But I mean, other than that, thank you guys again. Couldn't do this without you. You guys, we'd just be talking into microphones and projecting to dead air. So, yeah, it's obviously last Friday when we recorded the last episode, things were very cloudy up in the air. But now we have at least more of a foundation or an idea of where we go from here. And it's exciting to know that once March hits, and the contract at Vox ends, the Pensburg podcast, whatever we roll with it, whatever name it may shift to, will still exist, and we'll still get to talk hockey with you guys and answer your questions. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to even expand and make the podcast even better going forward with the new network and the new plans we have. So yeah, stick with us. Thank you guys so much, and I guess we'll talk to you next week. I'll pass it back over to Garrett to wrap this up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. We'll leave it there. Robbie brought it up. Next week, Robbie, next week, is that the league mandated bye week after the All-Star break? Is that
Well, so I think that there's games, like half the league is off starting like Sunday to All-Star break. I think the All-Star break is technically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And then after like the All-Star break, the second half of teams don't come back. So like Sunday through Thursday or Wednesday or Thursday next week, like half the league will play and the half of the league will be off. And then the All-Star break, which is universal. And then when the games resume after the All-Star break, the other half of the league takes their bye week. So they won't play from like Tuesday to Friday or something like that. So it's like split half and half somewhere. So not everybody's off. It's just like split between, with the All-Star break kind of sandwiching between the bye weeks.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Maybe, like you said, Robbie, maybe next week we'll just do an all mailbag edition of the podcast. If no news breaks or nothing crazy develops, if Sidney Crosby's head doesn't explode or something like that, we'll get some more listener interaction. But yeah, we'll leave it there. We'll wrap up this edition of the Pensburg podcast. And thankfully, thanks, like Robbie said, like I said, thanks to everyone who has stuck with us and listened to, even if you've listened to one episode of the podcast, we can't thank you enough. And to know that the Pensburg podcast might have a new name, but the podcast isn't going anywhere. So again, we thank everyone who has listened and continue to listen, and, you know, we'll listen and we'll go with us into the future, whatever the future holds. But yeah, we'll keep you up to date here on the podcast. We'll keep you up to date at Pensburg.com and at Pensburg's social media channels in terms of what is going to change and how quickly things will change with the Pensburg podcast. But until then, I have been Garrett Bahana for Robbie Noggle. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Pensburg podcast, and we will see you all right back here this time next week.